If you noticed the water level of Lake Superior this year, you might have been surprised. It's rebounded quite a bit. Our lake is up 15 inches in the last year, while the other Great Lakes are up significantly as well. This stands in contrast to recent years, during which many have voiced concerns about the dips in lake levels on the Great Lakes. And it's not without reason. Lake levels are important, and whether levels are high or low can have significant impacts on shipping and recreation, as well as the overall health of the lake. With the huge rebound this year, it may seem a bit odd that the Council of the Great Lakes Region, in partnership with the MOAT Center in Ontario, released a report this June forecasting huge economic impacts over the next 35 years due to significant reductions in lake levels. Here's Mark Fisher, CEO of the Council of the Great Lakes Region.
You know, in the mid-90s, up to 2013, the region went through probably the longest period of low water levels that we've seen since, levels were, started being recorded over 100 years ago. And as a result of that, obviously there's a lot of public concern about what was happening in the region. And for us as an organization, no one had really, or no one really has taken the time to look at the economic impact of fluctuating water levels on key sectors to the Great Lakes. So looking at recreational tourism, fishing, looking at shipping, hydroelectric generation, property owners. And, because of, basically the trend that we've seen over the last year, we took the opportunity to do that assessment. And what we found was quite significant and sobering. I think the results of the reports, speak for themselves. But, between now and 2030, looking at potential economic impacts upwards of $9 billion, and between now and 2050, upwards of $18 billion. And those are U.S. dollars, and those are in today's dollar figures. So, to get the actual value in 2030 or 2050, you have to add 2 to 3 times the number that you see in the report. So quite a significant impact on the region in terms of, many of the key sectors that this region relies on in terms of, economic prosperity and jobs.
As Mark explains, how you look at the future of water levels really depends on how you interpret the most recent variability.
Nobody predicted it. I think we had, incredibly cold winter mixed with, increased precipitation in the form of snowfall over the region that has really led to the rebound that we're seeing today. And nobody has really predicted, no one predicted that winter. And so the question becomes is this an anomaly? Will we go back to, a lower trend or do we see, a rebound that is going to sustain itself over a number of years. And I think it's unclear. I think, seeing the levels next spring will hopefully start to give us an indication of where the levels go. But, I think when you look at most of the modeling, I think most scientists would agree that the science is evolving. There are a lot of unknowns, but the consensus today still tends to be that there's going to be less water in the system. And so there's no doubt that we could see a future with low water levels. And so we wanted to try and start thinking about the economic impacts and how do you start thinking about that kind of a future in terms of adaptation, resiliency, and mitigation. That's not to say there aren't impacts from higher water levels and that kind of a future is quite plausible as well. But, we wanted to start this conversation by looking at a low water level future.
Of course, variations in lake levels are important. Debbie Lee is with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Water Management Division.
We have learned from studies that we need these variations in lake levels from high levels to low levels and back again for healthy habitats, primarily in like the meadow marsh and the wetlands along the edges of the lake. These are actually good for the environment.
For Mark and those who worked on the study, their focus was on a worst-case scenario for lake levels, hoping that this would start a conversation on what can be done if lake levels continue on the downward trend we've seen in the last 15 years.
We need to start having a conversation about you know, what the future may hold from a decision-making standpoint, from a public policy standpoint, because you can't wait to the last minute to prepare yourself for a future. So, you know, I think you always try to plan for, you know, somewhat of a worst-case scenario, and we believe that that is a more variable water-level future. And, you know, we want to start a conversation about what that means and how do we start responding to that kind of a future.
The council is embarking on a second phase of the lake levels report. They'll be looking at the cost benefits of different mitigation measures, which they hope will shed more light on the future of Lake Superior and the other Great Lakes. Stay tuned. For the Lake Superior Project, I'm Kelly Schoenfelder. The Lake Superior Project is a production of WTIP Community Radio on the north shore of Lake Superior. Support for this feature comes from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Music and sounds in this piece were produced by Peter Elvin. For more information, visit WTIP.org/Lake Superior Project.